Kia ora, family. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Oh, man, that's so much better than last week already. You guys are warming up. This is great. Merry Chrysler. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, turn to somebody on your left and right and say Merry Christmas, or behind you or in front of you if you haven't said it already. Good work, family. So last week we began our Christmas series here at CBC called
Peace on Earth.
Oh, mate, man, you guys are already onto it. Peace on Earth. A phrase that we often sing, read on cards, or hear in passing at this time of year. But in a world that most of the time seems at odds with itself, and the majority of society polarized in either some political or social movement, or if it's just the inner hurry and stress that we experience personally, peace seems all too distant at the best of times. So during this month and series, we want to explore the idea of peace on earth. Ask if it really is a possibility, and if so, how does it become our reality? Last week, we talked about the importance of expectancy, was the word for that one, to both the season of Christmas and our experience of peace. That the Christmas season is one that fosters in us expectancy in the one who was promised to come. And in Isaiah 9 is described as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And that it is in this expectancy that we begin to experience peace, as it's not some distant hope that may happen, but in the present reality of God with us, our Prince of Peace. This morning, we're going to look at an amazing story of an amazing woman called Mary. One of the things that makes Mary so inspiring is her ability to trust God in an incredibly challenging situation. And I believe that her trust in God was core to her experience of His peace. So I want us to read a good portion of her story right now and to sit with these words, to allow them to come to life, because I know how easy it is to again read the story of Christmas within Scripture and to miss both the emotions and the impact of what is being said. So I welcome you right now, family, as we begin talking about peace on earth this morning, to breathe in and to breathe out. That's also important. That we might hear this story as for the first time, as the Spirit of God speaks through it. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. May God's word find ready soil to take root, and by the Spirit of God draw us deeper into his life this morning. Here we have a young Jewish woman engaged to a Jewish man, being told that she was going to become pregnant outside of marriage and outside of the normal human interactions that require pregnancy. All of this at a time and in a culture where at best she would be shunned by society and viewed as nothing more than rubbish, or at worst, stoned to death for committing adultery, as they would have seen it. But there, in this situation, where anything but a calm reaction would be understood, there is a sense of peace in Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Where does this come from? And how does she respond in such a way? It's such a life-changing news. Mary would have been one of the recipients of Isaiah 9, the passage that we read last week, which promised that one would come and put right all that had been made wrong. She would have grown up with these words and this promise in her heart as she lived expectant of them coming true. But there isn't just expectancy in her response. I think there is really so much more. There is something that has been birthed out of this expectation, a deep trust in these words that they can be believed. Or better said, the one they have come from can be trusted. In the following verses, we read a statement that gives us further insight into this. When Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant at the time, Elizabeth declares to Mary declares to her as well as about her in Luke chapter 1, verse 45, so just a few verses further down. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. We're getting this picture that Mary is a woman of faith and deep trust in God. But again, where does this trust come from that enables her to respond in such a way? The verse before Mary's statement of faith is so important to this. Just before Mary's response, where she says, I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled. And after the angel Gabriel has announced to her what will happen, Gabriel says this in verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. God invites us to trust him. As Christians, we are called to a life of trust in him. But we must remember that before we were ever able to trust him, he showed that he is trustworthy. It is God that enables us to trust him through his faithfulness to us. Even though we may wander, he never will. And I think it's a super important thing to notice around the trust of God, or trust in God. Because what I would say is, it can be very easy to think that trust in God is something that comes from us. And in a way, it does. But we have to remember that it first and foremost is a response to his faithfulness, to his promises, that he can be believed and he can be trusted. And so when we are called to trust in God, it is not just this blind trust, but it is a promise deeply rooted in what God has said. And as we read from the angel Gabriel declaring that the word of the Lord will never fail. And so trust, yes, Christians, this morning we are called to a life of trust in God, but we have to remember that first and foremost, God enabled us to trust him. So how does peace fit into all of this? We've talked about peace being something we experience when we trust, but how? How does this happen? In today's culture, peace, or the state of being at peace, I would say is inseparable from being in control. Peace, or the state of peace, or being in peace, sorry, is inseparable from being in control. I mean, I don't know about you, but I struggle to be at peace when things are out of or beyond my control. Anybody else here this morning? Yeah. As humans, man, we struggle. We really do struggle. And I think it's just common amongst all of us. But guess what? What? Yes, there we go, family. So good. You are there. Nothing is. Nothing is in our control. We trick ourselves into thinking that we can control life. We order things. We structure our days. And we even put measures in place to account for the things that we can't account for. These things aren't bad in of themselves, but they are deeply destructive when they come from an attempt to control life. We have become so consumed with the need to control every aspect of life that the need for trust and faith have been relegated to the areas of our week such as Sundays. I know that so often is my experience, that outside of a Sunday, hey, I'm in control. Come to Sunday, well, that's where my faith is. That was never the plan, family. And that is why I believe it is deeply destructive when we attempt to control life. Because it relegates or even takes out the need for faith and trust. We are a community of faith. If you don't have to trust, well, you don't have to have faith. And so what are we doing, family? This is like a condition of our hearts as humans. But the beauty of all of this is that it was never meant to be. Control doesn't give us peace. Peace is what we experience when entrusting God, we relinquish the need to control to the one who is in control. Peace is what we experience when we relinquish the need to control to the one who is in control. Sit with that for a while. That is where peace is present. Not in the controlling of something, but in the relinquishing of control. God's kingdom turns things upside down. But what I'm coming to realize is it's not necessarily upside down, it's the right way up. Because as humans, as creation, we were never intended to control. We were forever intended to know the one who was in and is in control. That That family, that is where we find peace. We tire ourselves out trying to be in control. And when things get out of control, we try even harder to take control. How ugly is that sentence? It's just an ugly sentence. But we were never meant to be in control. We are called to a life of trust. And it is in this space that the Prince of Peace meets us in ways that we would never experience otherwise. He meets us in that place of trust. This is Mary's story. This is Mary's story. A young woman having been met by an angel. Okay, let's break this down. Ready? Having been met by an angel and given life-altering, unexpected, and potentially unwanted news. And she responds in utter trust with, "May your word to me be fulfilled." I don't know if I could say that. And so we again come to the fact that the story of Christmas is so relevant to every part of our life. Can I, can you, could we, together as a family, when the unexpected or the unwanted comes our way, we say, "Lord, have your way. May your word be fulfilled in this situation, because right now I can't see a way, but what I'm leaning on is a promise, and that promise is that you are going to put things right." And so in December, this Christmas season, as a family, we come together and we celebrate these truths, but we can't stop at celebrating. We have to live these truths, live into these truths. We are called to trust, yes. But we have to know that that trust, first and foremost, comes from God as a gift at Christmas time in the person of Jesus, that we can trust because he was faithful to his word. This is just a part of where peace comes from in a world that is tearing itself apart. That we don't try to pull it together, but that we go to the one who is seeking to redeem all things back to himself and go, "God, we need you." Yet again, we say, not just at Christmas time, "O come, Emmanuel, God with us, come, we need you." A deep heart of desire shouldn't just be reserved for the Christmas season. But every part of our lives, day to day, moment by moment, a hunger and a desire that God would come and do that God would come and do what only he can do. Control was never meant to be in our hands. And I don't know about you, but I find that truth freeing. Because it means that I don't have to make things work. The pressure's off. I am just invited to a life of faith. Praise God for that. Trust requires the giving up of control, and peace is the result. What is it that God is calling you to trust him with? To not grapple for control of, but ultimately to surrender to him. Is there something in your life that has been eating you up inside that God is inviting you to give to him that his peace may enter? Is it a family gathering this Christmas? We all have them. Such fun. Is it a tense relationship? Is it even the arrival of unwanted or unexpected news? Is it an area in your life work, finances, study, marriage, singleness, health. We all have things, I believe, this morning that we need to give to God, to relinquish control, that we may receive His peace in that place. And so this morning, we're going to have the opportunity to give these things to God, to prepare Him room in our hearts, just as room was prepared for Him that Christmas night. That His peace may rule in our hearts, and we may rest, that we may rest in His presence today. Today. Today, not next week, not in heaven, no, now. See, it was declared that peace on earth would be a thing. Not in heaven. There's already a whole lot of peace in heaven. Where is peace needed? On earth. What are we made up of? As we would learn in the Adam story. In Adam's story, we were made up out of dirt. Peace on earth. I think we need some peace in earth this morning. And so, family, we want to enter this time because we know that God is actively present with us now. He is our Emmanuel. And so I've wanted to just keep this like short and to the point. And I know that even this morning, there was like a level of like reading quite a lot. But it was simply because what happens now, I think, is truly the most important part. And that it is the relinquishing of control, that God's peace may enter our lives. I don't know if I said something this morning in an area of life that you were like, yeah, man, I'm struggling with that thing right now. If that's you, I invite you to give that to God. But I know that that was not an exhaustive list, that we as humans, we are dynamic, we are complex, that there is so much going on in our worlds. But the Spirit of God knows. And right now, I am believing and knowing that He is pressing upon each one of us something that He wants us to give to Him. We are a people of faith. And faith, as we read in James, requires action. This morning, what is God calling you to act upon? That we would trust Him, give up control, and receive heaven's peace. So we have up here a manger, or something of the sort. And over this next period of time, we want to just wait and allow God to minister by His Spirit to us, to speak into our worlds, to identify the areas in our hearts and minds and souls and activities that God wants us to give to Him. And so, we have these bits of fabric here. We were going with hay initially, but we thought hay fever would like not be a great thing. And so I would invite you, family, that if there is something in your life that you know that God this morning is asking you, inviting you, calling you to give to Him, to come and grab a piece of this fabric. And to not just like chuck it in there, but to go back to your seat if you need to, and to sit with it, and pour into this as like an icon, as a like a gesture, as a symbol of what you are holding on to that God wants to take from you that you may receive his peace. Pour it into it and go, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired and I need your peace. I invite you to come up and grab a piece of fabric, however big or small this area of control in your life that you are fighting for, give it to God. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So take a piece of fabric, pour into it whatever it is that you need to give to God and say, God, I am done. And when you are ready, and as the Spirit moves in you, come and put it in the manger that we would prepare, just as on that Christmas night a bed was prepared for him, that we would prepare in our hearts a place that he may take up control yet again. As Christians, this is something that we engage in, not just on the odd occasion, but I believe we need to engage in this day after day after day after day, because I know that I am like a master of taking control of things. And so it doesn't matter at what point of your faith, how long you've been a Christian is for, we all have things where we need to take this fabric and we go, God, again, I give you my heart. I'm tired and I need your peace. I relinquish control. I'm done with that. Now, here's the trick. You're probably going to pick it up tomorrow morning. And that's not defeated. That's real. And so, from this point on, what we do is day by day, we again give it to God. We surrender it to him that we may receive his peace. And I'm excited to see what will happen in this place, in this space of your life. So family, when you're ready, and as the Spirit of God prompts you, come and grab a piece of fabric. It's just a symbol, but I pray a powerful symbol this morning. Come and grab a piece of fabric. Sit with it. Wrestle with the thing that you are trying to fight for control of. Give that to God. And then when you are ready, come and put it in the manger. One of the greatest things that we can do in a faith community is do this kind of thing together so that we can see that all of us, we are all struggling with the same stuff. Lord, in this place right now, Lord, I sense like your Spirit even like nudging me in areas of my life right now. Lord, I thank you for your good word. Lord, I thank you that you are doing something in us, Lord God. Lord God, that your gift to us, not just at Christmas time, but every day of our lives is your peace in our worlds. And so, Lord, help us to be attentive to your Spirit's prompting, nudging, speaking. Help us to listen. Help us to relinquish. Help us to lay it before you. That our hearts would be prepared to give you the room you need. God, we need you. Come and meet with us. Minister powerfully by your Spirit. Have your way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.